Nagsimula na pong humarap sa iba't ibang media interview sa mga tumatakbo sa pagkapangulo ng Pilipinas sa darating na Mayo. Dito direktang naririnig ang mga plano at paninindigan ng mga kandidato sa iba't ibang mga issue. Kaya kung isipin nyo, mahalaga ang mga tanong, ang paraan ng pagtatanong at ang mismo nagtatanong dito sa mga panayam o interviews na ito. Yan po ang pag-uusapan natin ngayon sa ating Facts First Podcast. At bago ko po ipakilala ang ating guest for today, I'd like to invite you to like and subscribe to my YouTube channel. Just click the buttons on your screen. Okay? So sa araw na ito, meron po tayo nagbabalik na guest. Napakalaki po nung impact based na sa mga reactions nyo po anong huli nating panayam dito sa ating panahuin. Dahil very helpful yung kanyang expertise at yung mga ibinahagi niya doon sa huli nating panayam. So I'd like to welcome again on our Facts First Podcast si Mr. Alan Herman. Siya po ay veteranong campaign strategist at siya po ang head or lead persuasion specialist, quote-unquote, ng Agents International. Alan, thank you again for joining us on this podcast.
Good morning, Christian. Thank you for having me back. At magandang umaga sa mga nag-like na at nag-subscribe na at doon sa mga magla-like at magsusubscribe pa. Good morning sa inyong lahat.
Happy to be here. Ganyan po ka-importante ang ating podcast para kay Alan kasi lagi siyang nakapolo. Okay? Lagi siyang nakapolo. Hindi siya nangangahas na mag-round neck.
Nilalabhan ng mga magagandang damit at mga formal na kasuotan para sa inyo.
Okay. O sige, ang pag-uusapan natin ngayon yung function, yung importansya ng mga debate, forums, at saka mga media interviews. Technically, wala pa tayong napapanood o naririnig na debate among presidential candidates. Mm-hmm. Ang understanding natin, ang gagawa niyan, ang mag-o-organize niyan yung mismong COMELEC. Pero so far, kumbaga humarap na yung iba't ibang mga presidential candidates sa iba't ibang mga media interviews. Unang-una, as a campaign strategist, ano ba yung function? Gano'n ba ka-importante para sa isang kandidato yung lumahok sa mga ganitong interviews tsaka forums?
Well, number one, ang function nito ay talagang makaka-increase ito ng awareness at familiarity. So actually, more of familiarity function ito dahil by now, anong buwan na, magpe-Pebrero na. Dapat may idea na ang botante kung sino ka eh. Yung awareness mo medyo na-establish na. Pero yung familiarity function, yan ang talagang kailangan madistill ng botante. Kasi di ba tatlo nga yung proseso bago mo i-shade yung balota mo. Halimbawa, si Cristian Esguerra tumatakbo, nangangandidato. Hindi po siya nangangandidato, pero halimbawa lang. The question is always, who is Cristian Esguerra? Why will I vote for Cristian Esguerra? And then yung pangatlo, malapit na sa Mayo, vote for Cristian Esguerra. So yun yung parating three-way messaging ng isang campaign strategist tulad ko. So nasa why na tayo. Papunta na tayo sa why and then the vote. We're slowly transitioning. Why vote? And on that note, napakalaking halaga yung lumahok ka sa mga debate, sa mga talakayan, sa mga usapan para mas lalo kang makilala ng mga botante. And you know, ako personally bilang botanteng Pilipino and not so much as a campaign strategist, sabihin na natin nagmamahal sa bayan, gustong-gusto ko na nare-reframe yung dialogue ngayon na paulit-ulit lumalabas yung konsepto ng job interview. Kasi yan talaga ang kailangan matatak sa mga Pilipino, sa mga kapwa natin Pilipino, lalo sa kabataan. Job interview po ito. Hindi po ito kung sino ang pinakasikat, kung sino ang pinaka feel natin. Of course that plays a function, pero this is a job interview at the end of the day. So functionally, these dialogues and debates, napakalaking halaga po
niyan. Ang ganda nung hinighlight mo na konsepto rito, no, yung job interview or metaphor for candidates, yung job interview. Kasi 'di ba, sa job interviews, pwede kang mag-submit ng dokumento, application form, pwede mong pagandahin, 'di ba? Lagyan mo ng sangkatutak na kolorete. Pero pag walang interview, there's no way of knowing kung ano ba talaga yung attitude, even aptitude siguro, no? At kung valid ba talaga yung mga pinaglalagay sa qualification or sa application paper, no? Parang ganun siya.
And in fact, it coincides with real life experience. Kasi kahit pa paano, yung tinatawag nating padded resume, yan, ang tawag dyan, padded resume. Magaling magsulat yung tao, halimbawa, pinalad siya na yung grad picture niya, halimbawa, noong mga unang panahon, ngayon wala nang picture ng mga resume eh. Maganda yung pagkakuha, yung papel, medyo 180 grade. So all of these things make a difference pag una mo natanggap. No? Pero tama ka, hanggat hindi mo na-interview yan, hindi mo talaga makikilala kung sino yung aplikante. And a lot of times, going back to my earlier point, nava-validate sa reality na, ay, the resume doesn't necessarily conform to the person pala.
Mm-hmm.
Ay, masama, makikita mo, masama pala yung ugali pag tinanong mo tungkol sa insights niya, tungkol sa pananaw niya about teamwork. Halimbawa, hindi naman lalabas sa resume yon, or generic naman ang isusulat nila. Makikita mo na medyo may attitude, medyo may superiority complex yung aplikante. Then that's when you know, an interview will really distill that.
Or kung may plano, kasi pwedeng ang ganda-ganda na nakalagay sa website ng kandidato, ang ganda-ganda na nila lahat ng mga spokespersons nila. Pero pag sila mismo yung tinanong mo, parang pwedeng hindi pala nila alam kung ano yung mismong plano. Pero ang ganda-ganda ng pagkakalahad, no?
Or misqualified. Halimbawa, nag-a-apply sa marketing, nung kinausap mo, yung pala mas bagay siya sa operations. Yung pala mas bagay siya sa finance. Eh di wag na magpangulo yan. Sa iba na lang, maybe a cabinet secretary, or maybe we should just appoint this person as something. But you know, ang pangulo, wow. Ibang pinag-uusapan dito eh.
Okay. Pero yun nga, yung mga kandidato, kunwari ito si Bongbong Marcos. Base sa mga survey, ang taas-taas niya. So pumapalo siya sa 50% pataas. Yung mga ganyang kandidato ba, can they afford to ignore some if not most of these interviews? Kasi nga, bakit pa ako sasali dyan, ang taas ko na sa survey, baka mahatak pa yung mga numero ko.
Well, ang okay dyan, at least hindi ako nag-strike out sa'yo, no, Christian, dahil nung mga huli nating usapan, sinabi ko, prinidik ko na sa tingin ko hindi sisipot sa mga debate si Marcos Jr. Sapagkat at this point, ine-establish nila yung narrative control. Gusto nila, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing, bilang campaign strategist, yun naman talaga yung gusto mong habulin eh, yung narrative control. Ang prediction ko nun, tingin ko hindi siya mag-a-attend ng mga debate, ng mga discussion. At nangyari nga with the first debate, no?
And then, ano yan? Public, a forum, ha? Technically, it was not a debate.
Right, a forum. Well corrected. Tama, it was a forum. But, you know, they were not, I think, relying or they did not anticipate yung public backlash.
Hmm.
Binanatan sila. And I think because of that, they had to scramble. I think the camp had to scramble, rethink the strategy at the very least. Hindi naman sa sinasabi kong scramble. Siguro, marami na naman magagalit sa mga commenters natin. Hindi ko pinapalabas na nagpanic sila or nag-scramble. Pero siguro, rethink nila yung strategy nila na, uy, medyo tinamaan tayo doon. And reputationally, tingin ko, tinamaan talaga sila doon.
Yung sa hindi niya pagdalo doon sa kauna-unahang media sa forum.
Yes. Dahil okay, alam mo, ang Pilipino, and nagkaroon ng disconnect eh. Dahil yung unang sulat nila sa network, parang maganda pa yung explanation. Yung scheduling, may scheduling conflict, pasensya na, and that's on record. No? Nilabas ng network yung sulat nilang una. Pero nung maraming humirit sa social media, lalo na ba't ganyan, duwag, etc., nag-trending yung hashtag, parang ang naging restrat nila is best defense is a good offense. Binanatan ngayon nila yung host. Hindi, biased host kasi yan. May proven slant yan, nalaban sa amin, etc., etc. At mas lalo pa silang tumabo ng negative sentiment dahil doon.
Okay. Yung balik tayo rin sa sinabi mong narrative control, napaka-importante ng paliwanag mo dyan dati. No? Pero the fact na sumasama na si Bongbong Marcos sa ilang mga media interviews ngayon, does it necessarily mean na nawawala na sa kanya yung narrative control o nandun pa rin? Kasi pinipili rin naman niya, sa totoo lang eh, kung anong interviews yung papayagan niyang dumalo siya, di ba? Yung dadaluhan niyang interviews at kung sino yung nag-i-interview. So in that sense, nandun pa rin ba yung narrative control?
Well, that's a great question, Ian. No? Kung titignan mo sa social media, yung mga supporters niya, halatang-halatang sinusubukan i-reclaim itong narrative control na to. Mga supporters po to lahat, talagang nagkataon lang, pare-pareho yung kanilang pagta-type, pare-pareho lang yung kanilang mga sinasabi, eksakto yung mga sentences nila, pati po yung mga grammatical errors nila ay pare-pareho. Pero mga supporters po ito, hindi ko po sinasabi na mga troll ito, no. Nagkataon lang na talagang pati yung capitalization nila ay pare-pareho at sabay-sabay sila kung mag-post.
Teka lang, liwanagin natin sa mga hindi nakakagets, ha? Baka naman sarcasm yan.
Well, hindi po natin na, kasi sabi na nga po ng kandidato na wala siyang troll farm. So perhaps we should give him the benefit of the doubt. The evidence, however, when I look at my social media feed, iba't ibang tao. Galing sa iba't ibang lugar, pare-pareho mga pinopost, no?
And mukhang nagkataon lang.
Mukhang nagkataon lang. Baka naman.
Pati yung paggamit ng bias erroneously, yung walang E tsaka D?
Walang ED. Oo. Dahil ano yan, present tense yan, hindi po past tense. Dinalagay nila yung word na biased. Yung pala, ang pagkakaintindi pala nila kasi verbally bias yan eh, bias.
Okay. Salamat sa paliwanag. Sige, tuloy tayo doon sinasabi mo. Tayo.
Kasi di ba pag sinabi ko nga naman sa'yo, bias, baka isipin mo bias, di ba? But anyway, okay. They're trying to regain that narrative control by saying, kita mo na, hindi yan duwag. Matapang yan. Because he's turning the tables on media. In fact, this is a masterstroke. No one can fool our candidate and our idol. Hindi niya siya pwedeng bilug-bilugin dahil hindi niya kayo kailangan. Mas kailangan niyo siya. Then this was backed up by a yarn na napatunayan na naman na hindi totoo. Sinasabi nila na yung network daw ay nawala ng 30 million pesos in advertisers dahil umatras yung kanilang kandidato. Kita mo na, hindi siya may kailangan sa inyo. Kayo ang may kailangan sa kanya. Nawalan kayo ng pera, nawalan kayo ng viewership dahil hindi siya sumali. See how brilliant our candidate is. He will not be bullied by anyone. He will not be manipulated by anyone. Teka. So that's how they're trying to establish that re-establish that narrative control.
Okay. Alan, isa naman tanong. Kasi kung talaga mapanuri tayo, doon sa, hindi lang kay Bongbong Marcos to, sa lahat ng mga kumakandidato, ano ba yung mga tanong? Yung quality of questions, ganun ba kalalim yung pagsuri at paghimay doon sa posisyon at paninindigan niya? At sino ba yung mga nagtatanong? I mean, di ba dapat importante i-consider to? Kasi pwedeng, hindi, matapang ako eh, humarap ako sa interview. Eh, softball yung questions eh, walang follow-up. At ibig sabihin, talaga nakokontrol mo yung ano, yung conversation, yung narrative correct mismo. Which is a basic correct in interviews, di ba?
Correct. That's why, as I said earlier, no, yung matatak sa Pilipino yan eh. Kaya for me, tactically, they should have probably rethought that strategy of saying, ayaw namin magpa-interview dyan dahil bias. Later on, pinadefine, ano ba yung bias? Bakit bias yan? Kasi anti sa akin.
Mm-hmm.
Sa Pilipino, tumatatak yan dahil yung Pilipino nga, pag yung halimbawa, nakita mo yung kagalit mo, mas lalo mo pa lalapitan yan eh. Mas lalo mo pa lalapitan, di ba? There is that sense of all the more you should have cleared it up. Kung talagang magaling ka, matapang ka, all the more you should have cleared it up. But to your question, no? Let's give credit naman and understanding to the hosts of these forums. Kasi limitado yung time nila. Alam mo, ang kandidato talaga, mas maganda itong ginagawa natin eh. Yung tinatawag nating long-form podcast.
Kwentuhan.
Kwentuhan. This really gives an opportunity to distill and to really dive into the ethos of the questions. Pwedeng ano, definitely hindi ka maakusahan na nag-i-interrupt ka kasi nagkwekwentuhan tayo, gumaganda, nag-evolve yung usapan.
Pero Alan, ano eh? Teka, nagja-joke lang ako. In-interrupt lang kita just to give them an idea kung paano mang interrupt ng kausap.
Well, sa tingin ko, para sa akin, na-joke lang. Nangyayari kasi dyan, there are limitations to the medium. Let's give them that. There are really limitations to the medium. Now, ako, I watched the debates. I saw the highlights. Frankly, there are times when I would stand up and say, that's the wrong question to ask because ako, for me, the the questions should have precision of language. Mm-hmm. Importante sa akin bilang botante at bilang isang campaign strategist yung tinatawag na precision of language. And I'm sure English teachers, and thank you to my past English teachers for distilling that concept in me, that Jesuit concept in me.
Arneo pa pala, no? Arneo?
The Arneo. May okay. Alimbawa na lang, kung tinanong mo, balikan natin si Marcos Jr. And please, again, papanata na naman po tayo sa comment, sasabihin, ba't dinidiinin niyo si Marcos Jr.? Ginagawa ko kung halimbawa, yung Taliano Gold, or yung tanong ni Tito Boy na yung Amnesty International, it's so easy to skirt out of. Because the Taliano Gold, tinanong mo siya ng diretso na, what about this Taliano Gold? Mm-hmm. Do you know of its existence? Have you heard of it?
Napakadaling lusutan nun.
No, I have not. In fact, they have said it. He has said it. Wala ko nakikitang gold. Naging weighty pa siya. Kung wala ko nakikitang gold, kung nakita ninyo yung gold.
Alan, sorry for playing a Tito Boy on you, interrupting you. Pero... yun yan sinasabi ko, di ba? Yung binabanggit mo, precision of language in terms of questions. Makikita mo kasi kung merong lusot, kung may wide latitude yung sumagot. Example, sa Taliano Gold. Siyempre, pwede niyang sabihin na hindi niya alam yun. How would you explain yung mga sinabi ng nanay mo about the gold? At number two, the fact na pinapakalat yan at kumakalat yan among your supporters at nagbebenepisyo ka. Hindi ba dapat magsalita ka about it?
Mas gusto ko yung question number two mo. In fact, that's how I would have phrased it. In fact, take all of the candidates to task. Bago nila sabihin na, oy, ayan na naman yung Herman, no? Ano na naman, lumalabas na naman yung kapingkan or yung ano. Hindi po. Nililinaw ko po, all candidates should go through the same experience and have the same precise questions asked of them. In the same way VP Lenny should be asked. VP Lenny, yung mga ibang supporters mo, elitista.
Yeah.
Dismissive. Pag iba ang kausap nila, nagkakaroon ng intellectual snobbery, pinapalabas, they use unsavory words para i-describe yung choice ng ibang tao. Approve ka ba dito?
Yun. At saka nantotroll din yung iba, ha? Sa totoo lang. Nantotroll din. Matinding makaaway sila sa Twitter.
What do you think of this behavior? Yan ang precision of language. So perhaps for Marcos Jr., dapat ang tinanong dyan is, so wala akong gold. Okay, nandiyan na tayo, walang gold. Now, what do you approve? Halimbawa, yan, di ba, precision of language. Do you approve of your supporters using this myth or this legend to recruit supporters? Because, sir, it is happening. There is documented evidence na may mga certificate pa. Sir, you should also be taken to task for your supporters. In the same way, a company executive or a company CEO will issue a strong statement. Halimbawa, may ginawang kalokohan yung isang empleyado.
Oh.
Yung company president ang nag-i-issue ng statement. We condemn this. We do not condone such behavior. This is not what our brand stands for, etc., etc.
May isa pa, Alan, no? Yung sa question ng ano, meron ka bang trolls? Di ba parang astig na ng pogi na nagtanong siguro? Ano? Parang... wow, napaka-direkta ng tanong regarding trolls. Siyempre, yes. Yun ang sagot, di ba? How about yung follow-up? Example, okay. Paano, how would you explain the behavior of social media?
There
or baka nandun yung distance deniability, di ba? Hindi ako babanat, pero I have an army around me. Siyempre, sino bang aamin na meron control, di ba?
And you know, these armies are, some of them have faces.
Yeah.
Some of them have faces. In the same way, again, all the candidates have their own quote-unquote attack dogs, no? Some just more vocal than others. So, yun, dyan lumalabas yung precision of language. How would you explain? There seems to be coordinated, this response seems to be coordinated. For example, oh, that's my supporters, etc., etc. Then you go back to, do you approve of this?
Mm-hmm.
What is your stand on this style of campaign? Personally, do you feel that this is a good way or a way that is consistent with who you are as a candidate? Ganyan, di ba?
Tama pa. Tsaka in the context of hindi raw siya nag-i-engage sa negative campaigning at tsaka more of unity ang purpose, ang objective niya. Pero yun nga, paano mo siya ibabangga doon sa ganong behavior ng mga supporters mo? You're trying to unify, quote-unquote, the country? Pero ang laki nung...
I have no doubt whatsoever, sir, that halimbawa, si former Senator Bongbong Marcos ang kaharap ko, I will say, I have no doubt that you will not engage in negative campaigning. That, di ba? That's your brand, eh. You're the get-along guy for this campaign. Ikaw nga si Unity guy, ikaw nga si Happy Thoughts, bangon muli. Pero sir, si former, well, suspended Attorney Larry Gadon ay kilalang supporter mo. Eh sir, palakad-lakad yan. Mini-middle finger, pati mga guro, pati mga ano, lahat ng tao, tinatawag na bobo.
Journalist, eh, sir, si Raisa Robles, diba?
Journalist. Eh sir, very vocal supporter man. Do you approve of such behavior?
Yeah, yeah.
Diba? Perhaps, sir, you don't need to engage in negative campaigning because others are doing it for you. So,
Ayan
these
po,
are some of the questions that I would ask.
Yun. Ayan po sa mga magkakaroon ng privilege to interview a candidate like Bongbong Marcos next time. Salamat po sa tip calling from Alan Herman. If you have the courage to ask those questions. Kasi nga, pupunta ako ron sa isang bagay, no? Gaano ba kahalaga yung mismo nagtatanong? Kasi, eto frustration ko rin to as a journalist, no? Ang dami mga softball questions, hindi lang kay Bongbong Marcos, kundi dun sa ibang mga kandidato. At minsan, yung takbo na interview, very accommodating to a fault. I don't know whether that's cultural, pero I suspect that's a big part of it. Pero number two, siguro, duwag, takot, or worse, baka naman minabayaran. May mga ganun, di ba? Siguro, alam mo yan, as a campaign strategist, no, may mga interviews na yung kandidato para pabor sa kanya yung interview, pwedeng may nangyayari behind the scenes, di ba? Pwedeng tumanggap ng bayad yung nag-interview, kaya eto lang yung set of questions na pwedeng itanong sa kanya. Sinasabi ko to generally, we're not accusing anyone in particular.
And in fact, let me re-emphasize that. I know you just said it, pero I'm sure we are not definitely not referring to any of the dialogues that have taken place so far. But generally, as a rule in a practice, nangyayari ho talaga yan. At ang mga campaign strategist ay ine-engineer yan talaga. Humihingi ng, minsan sila pa, unfortunately, minsan sila pa yung nagdidikta kung ano yung tanong. Minsan sila pa yung nagdidikta ng follow-up questions. Ang tawag po dyan is interview brief. So, nagkakaroon ng ganyan. So how valuable is the person asking the question? As valuable as so dramatic, my goodness. Siguro may susulat na sa tula ang sagot ko o ilalagay lyrics ng kanta. It's as valuable as the truth itself. Really, it is. The medium is the message. It's as valuable as the truth itself because ultimately, yan naman ho ang habol natin sa mga exercise na ganito eh. Gusto natin malaman yung katotohanan. Ano ba talagang dinadala nitong kandidato na to sa kanyang trabaho, sa kanyang trabahong ninanais niya? Sino ba siya talaga?
Okay, yeah, malaking bagay na. Tsaka siguro, maganda na rin yung nangyayari. Very, very conscious yung mga nanonood, yung mga botante. Hindi lang doon sa mga nagpapa-interview, hindi lang doon sa mga kandidato, kundi doon sa mga mismo nagtatanong, no? So meron silang push eh. Hindi, dapat tinanong mo to eh. Dapat ganito eh.
Correct. Again, putting it back to the human experience. Ibalik natin sa human experience. Kung gusto niyo ho talaga ako makilala, sino ba Alan Herman na yan? Ba't ba nag-guest parati ni Cristian Esguerra yan?
Ano bang Kenyan? Ano bang meron dyan?
Sino ang itatanongin ninyo? Yung anak ko? Yung asawa ko? Yung nanay ko? Yung tatay ko? Yung best friend ko? Siyempre, kung sila ho lang ang tinanong ninyo, aba napaka-glowing at napakaganda ng mga sagot na maririnig ninyo. So make sure to ask an entire slew of people about who I am, di ba? That I encounter. Kasi dyan ninyo ako talagang makikilala. Same thing with a presidential candidate.
Alan, behind the scenes, as a campaign strategist, paano nyo normally hinahanda o pineprep yung, let's say, a presidential candidate sa isang interview? Well, sa isang debate, sa isang forum?
Kitang-kita siya definitely dun sa mga kandidato natin nung mga huling dialogue, forum, debate na sinalihan nila. No? Our best advice as campaign strategist is key message takeaway, always. Yan ang parati namin dinidrill. Key message takeaway, and stick to brand. So makikita ninyo, for example, in the gawin na lang nating halimbawa yung mga dialogues na nangyari so far. You can see that Mayor Isko's key message takeaway is, I've done it in Manila. If I can do it in Manila, kung nagawa namin sa Manila, kaya namin gawin sa buong bansa. Ang mga maganda naming nagawa sa Manila, i-amplify namin sa buong bansa. Yun yung key message takeaway ni Mayor Isko. Si Senator Ping, ang key message takeaway niya is discipline, crime, and corruption. If you get rid of the crime, if you get rid of the corruption, the country will prosper. Obviously, VP Lenny's team, ang kanilang key message takeaway is to talk in bullet points. Expound.
Effective ba yun?
Put forth a thesis and then expound your thesis. You can see, you can almost see that she's thinking in bullet points and talking in bullet points.
Is it a good thing? O baka naman masyadong academic o classroom yung approach?
Yan ang problema, Christian. Sa akin, for example, Senator Ping and VP Lenny's approach appeals to me. Pero ano ba naman ako bilang, what is the percentage of people like me who vote, di ba? Sa akin, nag-a-appeal yun. Pero if you look at my demographic, sa edad pa lang, di ba, baka hindi na ako yung majority na bumoboto. So magandang point yan, Christian. Kailangan din malaman ng tao kung sino ba yung main audience na kausap ko. And then si Manny Pacquiao is obviously all heart. Heartful. Itahi mo dun sa past experience mo. Si Marcos Jr., ang kanyang key message takeaway is unity guy. Feel good guy, get along guy. So, and you can see that they're really sticking to their brand.
Yung isa, si Lyody de Guzman, dinedma sa ibang mga interviews, no? Lalo doon sa unang-una. Was it a good move for certain media organizations? Or dapat mas in-accommodate yung mga ganyang kandidato?
Actually, I did feel, if I'm being honest, I did feel bad for Cal Lyody, no? He deserves his day to explain. He deserves his, I don't know why they did that. Perhaps it's an airtime consideration.
Sa survey daw, mababa. Yung top 5 ang kinuha nila.
Yeah, well, yun yung official explanation, di ba? So I'm happy that you had a chance to chat with him. Sinabi ng GMA. Oh, pero yun nga, kaya natuwa ako that ikaw, kinausap mo siya one-on-one. I saw that interview. He went on live. Sinabayan niya yung Jessica Soho interviews. He went on live. Unfortunately, yung kanyang view count ay kakalungkot din. Yung people viewing. But ako, kung kaya naman, I don't think the surveys should be a barometer for who you should interview. Again, it's a job interview.
Okay. Paano yung mga naisip ko kasi paano yung mga seemingly crackpot candidates in general? Kailangan mo binibigyan ng ng airtime?
Well, alam mo, si Cal Lyody kasi, yun na nga eh.
Hindi si Cal Lyody to, ha? Hindi to. Hindi.
Exactly. I mean, you have to draw that intuitive line kung sino ba talaga yung nuisance at kung sino yung hindi. Diba? Iba yung mahinang kandidato sa borderline nuisance candidate. Kasi Comelec lang naman talaga makapagsasabi niyan kung sino ang nuisance candidate.
Yeah.
But intuitively, I think as voters, as the general public will know, meron namang line yung quote-unquote mahinang kandidato versus yung panggulo na kandidato. Oh. I don't think Cal Lyody is a panggulong kandidato at all.
Again, yung question ko na yan, not referring to Cal Lyody.
Yeah, not referring to him. I would have loved to see him, honestly.
Kasi napakalinaw nung plataforma naman. I think to be fair to him, tsaka kay Professor Walden Bello, sila yung kauna-unahang naglabas ng detalyadong plataforma. At tsaka pag pinag-aralan niya yung background ng dalawa, hindi ito yung parang nagising lang isang umaga, parang gusto kong gawin to para sa bayan, no? Kung meron silang track record, eh.
Or kinausap ng spirito, or nag-meditate sa kuweba.
Pinagalaw yung baso.
takbo na tayo bilang pangula. So, all respect to Cal Lyody and Sir Walden. I mean, they have the track record and the competence.
Ito, connected pa rin to sa tanong ko sa'yo, how you prep your candidates or how candidates are supposed to be prepped. Siyempre kinikilala niyo yung ano, di ba? Yung magi-interview.
Siyempre.
Paano yung mga inaalam niya actuation, siyempre dispositions, siguro pati leanings, o kaya yung, kunwari, tingin nyo, yung pag-interview, ah, ito matalim to, ah, ito medyo mahina to, no? Medyo walk in the park yan. Paano nyo naman inihahanda yung kandidato nyo sa ganun?
Well, we watch tape. Parang fighter yan. Parang boksingero na hinahanda mo para sa laban. We literally watch tape of the past interviews na nagawa nitong magiging host or magiging tagapagtanong. And tama ka, pinapag-aralan namin yung mga verbal nuances, yung mga cues, body language. Pag nag-lean na yan, expect a hard hit. He likes to, for example, he or she likes to ask questions about motivations. Or ito, itong journalist na to, mahilig tong magtanong about track record. Ano na ba nagawa mo? So, based on the tape that we study, sinusubukan namin i-prep yung kandidato namin the best that we can.
Pero di ba meron din mga ano? Ito siguro, hindi, sasabihin ko rin anyway. You have to be frank, no? Kung may budol na kandidato, meron din mga budol na interviewers and journalists, di ba? Hindi po yung magaling magbitaw ng one-liners, medyo may kunot ng noon, nakaganon pa, no? Tapos may dramatic pose. Hindi pose, ha? Or pwede rin pose. Dramatic pose and pause. Pero yung pala yung tanong, fed lang sa kanya, someone else prepare those questions for him or her, pero performance sa kanya yon. So, in a way, nakakabudol siya, di ba? Ang problema, pag sinagot yung tanong, malalaman mo kasi kung may laman o wala yung nag-i-interview doon sa follow-up eh.
Tama.
Diba?
Tama. That is the difference between a script and a dialogue. Diba? So meron ka namang ano eh. Well, to unpack your question. Unang-una, meron ba mga kung may budol na kandidato, may budol bang host? Definitely. Definitely. In the same way, may budol na survey firm na biglang 25 points na nang biglang lamang yung kandidato mo. Diba? It's the reality of it. But you're absolutely right. Makikita mo naman yung diferensya ng quote-unquote ad-lib sa script. Halata-halata naman eh. Pilipino, mahilig sa sine, mahilig manood. May mga artista na ang galing ibenta yon, di ba? Na wow, mukhang totoo. Pero at the end of the day, there are telltale signs na tingin ko sumusunod sila sa outline or pre-fed questions ito dahil sa kakulangan ng follow-up. At hindi talaga hinihimay yung mga sagot.
Ito, Alan, siguro, ano to, no? Isa to sa mga factors na kinoconsider nyo while prepping your candidate to a debate, forum, or media interview na parang this should also be seen as a performance for them. Kaso, unfortunately, doon naman sa ibang mga journalists, para bang yung interview is also a performance. Kumbaga, ang tutok yung delivery of memorized questions or questions prepared for them by someone else. More than the substance. Kaya minsan, or kadalasan, nakikita natin, may pagkukulang doon sa mga follow-up questions. Kumbaga, hindi natutumbok. Ang dami openings, di ba? Parang ginamit ko yung boxing metaphor. So, ang boxingero, nakikita niya openings doon sa kalaban niya. Hindi ko sinasabing kalaban ng tingin dapat ng journalist sa interview. Yes. Pero there are certain openings that can also be covered by follow-up questions. Anong tingin mo sa ganon?
Well, doon talaga magkakahalataan, like I said. Because it's a two-way street. You mentioned earlier, paano ninyo pine-prepare ang kandidato? Yes, there is a lot of preparation that goes in that. We watch tape, we review the facts, we organize the answers as we feel they should be answered. We try to anticipate kung ano yung mga tanong. The journalist should do the same. Dapat ang journal, two-way street yan. Dapat siya naghahanda rin. Anong mga past stand nitong tao na to in past issues? Pag tinanong ko to, pag sinagot niya ako ng ganito, how do I move the dialogue forward and move it deeper? Kasi ultimately, huwag sanang makakalimutan ng journalist, ng kandidato, at ng tao na ang function, balikan natin yung very first point of our discussion, these dialogues are not there for entertainment value or para sumikat lang yung host or yung kandidato. This has a fundamental role in decision making. And kung talagang ginagawa mo yung tungkulin mo, dapat ang nasa isip mo, kailangan makilala ng tao kung sino tong kausap ko. Pwera na lang kung talagang ang off the bat, aminado ka that you're just there for the views, you're just there for the entertainment value. Kasi may mga ganyan naman eh, di ba? To be fair, sasamahan mo yung kandidato, magluluto siya, or magja-jump rope, or gagawa kayo ng, magbe-bake kayo together, gagawa kayo ng fruit salad. Obviously, these are meant to be more lifestyle-y slash featurized. Pero yung a serious sit-down interview, both should do their homework.
Ayun. Doon naman sa serious sit-down interviews, eto, punta tayo ng konti sa interview 101. Paano nyo pineprep yung mga kandidato doon sa mga interviewers na ang hilig i-insert yung sarili nila doon sa panayam? Well, kasi interview, di ba, dapat mas marami kang nalalaman tungkol doon sa kinakausap. Tama. Kaya hindi dapat na nagdo-dominate yung nag-i-interview. Interrupt ng interrupt. O kaya maraming predispositions eh, di ba, ang mga nag-i-interview. So, paano ba dapat ng ano yan, ng allocation? How much yung tanong, how much yung sagot?
You know, perfectly put. I think ang ganda ng pagkaka-phrase mo na, no? Kasi kung alam mo na lahat, eh hindi na natin kailangan mag-imbita ng interviewee. Mag-ano ka na lang, mag-soliloquy ka na lang, mag-monologue ka na lang tungkol sa subject matter, di ba? That's why you invite the subject matter expert. Or if the reason is to get to know the person, edi bigyan natin ng pagkakataon in taonin. But having said that, how do we prep? Meron po tayong tinatawag na bridging statements, and we teach this to candidates. So ano yung mga bridging statements na yan? The point I'm trying to make, ang nais ko lang naman sabihin, ang mahalaga dito ay mabalik tayo dun sa yan, yung mga bridging statements na yan, para lang ma-steer yung conversation to the message takeaway. To the message takeaway na na-prep din namin yung kandidato namin. So for example, ang message takeaway mo, ito lang ha, key message takeaway mo, hindi ka mandaraya, may integrity ka, wala kang past cases of corruption. Babalik-balikan mo lang yun. So kung medyo nalilihis na yung usapan, you just use bridging statements. Kaya nga, gaya ng nasabi ko, importante yung wala kang bahid ng korupsyon. Ibabalik mo. You use a bridging statement.
Or gaya nga ng sinabi ko, ako dapat ang interview, bawas-bawasan mo yung pakiiklian po yung interjections.
Lalo kung may timer. Lalo kung may timer. Kasi that in itself is medyo nakakapag, di ba, mapapakamot ka ng ulo dahil may timer, tapos yung ratio ng speaker and interviewer and interviewee ay parehong binibilang dun sa timer. Medyo
ito nga pala. Ito nga pala, Alan, no. Ito siguro alam din naman 'to ng mga nag-interview. Pag masyado mahaba yung tanong, that can also go either way, no? Pwede makatulong sa kandidato, pwede makasama. Makatulong in the sense na pag hindi mo tinumbok yung tanong mo, meron ka mga masasabing salita as an interviewer that the candidate can latch on.
Yes.
Yun yung huhugutin niya at yun ang sasagutin niya. Or pwede niya atakihin yung premise mo at hindi niya na masasagot yung gusto mong tumbukin na tanong. So that's one downside ng masyadong mahaba magpasakalye.
Yung over-premised question. It's an over-premised question. Yeah.
Yung tumotalk show for every question, di ba?
The over-premised, you know, it's sad because it kind of became, ayokong magsalita about anyone in particular, but it's
General almost, lang tayo, don't worry, general.
Yeah, it's almost become a fad. It's almost become a fad. We've noticed the shift to the over-premise question. Kasi nga, it sounds so cruel coming from me eh. Parang umuupak ako or nagiging judgmental ako, pero it's the easiest way to show that you did your homework. It's a cheap way to show that you did your homework, and perhaps an inelegant way to show that you did your homework. But it's a way to show that you did your homework.
Ito, I'll cite a very concrete example. Diba, college, diba? Kunwari may pressure for certain people to read.
Yes.
I remember a college org mate long time ago. nakabasa siya ng libro daw, di umano.
Uh-huh.
Usually, yung pagiging wide reader na isang tao, lumalabas siya in the course of conversations, sa pagsusulat mo afterward. Tsaka ano yan, distributed. Kumbaga, sumusulpot yan at one point in your life. Ano, basa ko para 20 years ago, no? Medyo naalala ko.
Correct.
Pero ito, nagulat ako, in huddle, parang nag-book report sa amin. And it was a retreat. Sabi niya, nabasa ko itong libro about Buddha, ganyan-ganyan. Tapos, I thought nag-book report eh. I sense insecurity. Na siguro, dahil nakabasa ng isang libro, siguro for the first time, nakatapos. And then, he had to relay that. Correct me if I'm wrong, ha? Parang ganun ang tingin ko rin sa ibang nag-over-premise ng mga questions. And desperate to show that they prepared for that particular interview. Kasi may mga basic things na for people like you and I siguro who know na common knowledge to, di ba? For example, you ask about the 2016 PCA ruling.
Yes.
Kung masyado mong binabaran yon,
yes,
it could reflect more about your lack of knowledge or newfound knowledge to cover for your siguro insecurity because you're not too well-versed doon sa topic. More than the candidate himself.
Again, you're beating people over the head with it, di ba? Yeah. And it perhaps it's also a way for, well, you use the word insecurity, perhaps it's also, well, cover, di ba? Kasi para ipakita na kaya kong gawin to credibly, kaya kong gawin to just like the so-called experts do it. So, now over-premise. Overcompensation minsan ang nangyayari. Perhaps that's the best, ano, yun na lang. Let's settle on that. It's perhaps overcompensation. Tayo, Christian, you and I have experience, di ba? Ang isa pang telltale sign niyan, yung mga overquoters.
Mm, yeah.
Tayong dalawa, we have experience with that, di ba?
Pakirecall nga ng konti. Yung parang nagka-quote lagi ng book author.
Na sinabing ganito-ganito, which is tied into dun sa sinabi ni Winston Churchill na sinuportahan naman ni Bishop Desmond Tutu when he said in the in his masterful work, in his seminal work, Chu, diba, ganyan, which can also be found in the Gaudium et Spes in Rome. Ooh. So medyo...
Teka lang, mukhang very Catholic si Alan Herman.
You've overcompensated, diba? Pag ganon. So there are telltale signs.
Pero yun nga, sa context ng interview, hindi ba very distracting yan? Kasi parang you're inserting yourself too much in the interview.
Again, the spirit, let's go back to the very spirit, the reason for existence of such an interview. Wag ho natin kakalimutan. It is for the people and the public to get to know the person you're interviewing. If the person stepped away from the interview, having more things to say about the interviewer, or worse, much, much worse, mas maraming nalaman tungkol dun sa interviewer kaysa dun sa interviewee, then it was an exercise. It was a failed exercise. Okay. It's that simple.
Speaking of failed exercise, as a strategist, paano nyo gin-engage ang success or failure ng isang interview or participation in a debate or forum ng isang kandidato?
That is a fantastic question. Kasi of course, pag manok mo yung sumalang, everybody says, galing! Knocked it out of the park. Kami po, we take a very quantitative approach to it. We do first a QSS reading, quick sentiment scan. Where do we get this? Unfortunately, mostly from social media. We choose the sites. Hindi po kami pupunta dun sa, obviously, dun sa page ng Kalaban or dun sa page namin, echo chamber yan. But we have a basket of sites that we look at, and then we look at the comments. We look at the general discussion, kung pabor sa amin. And if possible, only if possible, we actually do FGDs afterwards.
Wow, so kailangan may pondo yung kandidato para malaman lahat siya.
Believe it or not po, kataka-taka, talagang kailangan ng pera para mga kandidato sa Pilipinas. We actually do FGDs afterwards. And babalikan ko yung precision of language. Then we become very precise with our language. How do you think Christian Esguerra could have done better if you were the candidate, halimbawa? Ano sa tingin mo dun sa sagot niya tungkol sa tanong na to? May ginagawa ba siyang mannerism na nadidistract ka? So we actually do it that in-depth. No?
Okay, so yan, maliwanag yung metrics nyo for your candidates kung ikaw yung campaign strategist.
Yes.
Pero doon naman sa perspective ng voter, ano ba yung pwede mong sabihin to guide them whether this particular candidate did well or didn't do well regarding a debate or forum or interview.
Okay, yun yung mahirap kasi ako, you cannot have universal metrics, eh, di ba? Kasi your order of attributes, sobrang technical, di ba? Your purchase drivers are different from mine. Kasi ako, ang purchase driver ko halimbawa sa sabon ay amoy. Eh, yung isa naman, ang purchase driver niya sa sabon ay yung kulay. Yung isa naman, ang purchase driver niya sa sabon, it can be straight down to ano yung pinakamura.
Mm-hmm.
Kasi yun lang yung mabibili ko. So iba-iba tayong purchase drivers. Like I said earlier on about these debates, if I were to score the candidates, I actually thought that some candidates came out better para sa akin kasi mas nakaka-relate ako dun sa sagot nila sa mga tanong. They're very analytical, data-based, very methodical. Ngayon, wow, I've meandered around this answer, no? To your point, ano dapat ang metrics ng universal as much as possible metrics ng Pilipino sa mga debating ko? Let's go to non-negotiables na lang. Yun na lang. Ano ba para sa iyo bilang isang botante? Ano ba yung sino ba yung kandidatong hinding-hindi ko iboboto?
Let's go. Maganda magsimula.
Ako I've always been an exponent of that.
Elimination muna.
Elimination tayo. I've always been an exponent of that. I come from a school of let me tell you the philosophical background of this. Loko lang.
Wala ka ba i-quote na book author?
Yun na nga. Because according to the encyclopedic work of joke lang. Pero I've always been a proponent of elimination as a good strategy for voting. What are your non-negotiables? Will you vote for a killer? Will you vote for a person na na-involved sa corruption? Will you vote for a person? Kaya, in a way, yung quick questions, magandang format yun eh.
Mm. Para may snapshot. Nakakatulong.
Oo, para may snapshot ka. Halimbawa, kung talagang you're actively pro-life, this will give you a snapshot. Or if you're actively pro-choice, this will give you a snapshot. There are death penalty questions, di ba? There are people who feel very strongly about this.
Oo. Yung ganyan ba, no? Sometimes, hindi ba reflective din yan dun sa parang sorry state of our politics? Para bang kailangan tayo magsimula sa process of elimination instead of looking for the best candidate? Sorry, baka napaka-naive ng question ko. Pero minsan may ganun, di ba? Kunwari, non-negotiables. Basta ayoko yung nanakawan ako. Or ayoko yung boboto ko yung pinaka sa tingin ko hindi ako at least nanakawan. Yung mga ganun bang leveling?
Well, it's not only a reflection. It is a commentary. It is a commentary on the state of our electoral maturity, sabihin natin, no? I don't want to appear preachy and ma-accuse na naman tayo Christian of being the preachy guys, di ba? Pero sa totoo lang, babalikan ko yung napaka-worn-out cliche. Facts don't care about your feelings. Okay naman na iniidolo mo ang isang kandidato. Wala naman pong problema niyan. Kung dumaan yung motorcade niya, wala naman problema kung kiligin siya. Kiligin ka pag nakita mo siya. That's a feeling. But ultimately, when you get to the voting precinct, you should vote on facts. It's no different from a driver. You're hiring a driver or a cook. This guy is good looking. This guy knows how to play the guitar. This guy knows how to dress well. Pero hindi marunong magmaneho, walang alam sa daan.
Mm-hmm. Doon so, Alan, sa menu of capabilities, not just qualifications on paper, gano'ng ka-importante yung communication? Kasi pwedeng magaling ka, marami kang makapal yung track record mo, you might be the most competent, and the record would bear you out. Pero pwedeng nagkukulang ka rin sa communication aspect. Parang produkto, di ba?
So, absolutely.
Paano nyo inaano yun? Hindi ko alam kung term yung balance, di ba? Pero siguro, in a pie, gano'ng ka-importante yung communication sa ganun?
Well, again, PR is PR means three things. So, babalikan ko yung word na PR, di ba? PR is public relations. PR is performance and recognition. You can have all the performance in the world, galing-galing mo, ang dami mo nagawa, but if you're not being recognized for it, if you're thinking of pies, tatlo yan. So it's one third of the pie. Kasi performance and recognition, you can have all the performance, if you're not being recognized for it, then you're one third dehado. Yung pangatlong definition ng PR is perception and reality. Ano ba yung napoperceive ng tao? Ano yung katotohanan? Ang napoperceive ng tao, halimbawa, lugaw ka, you're dutang. But the reality is that you're an accomplished lawyer, you're an accomplished economist, etc., etc. So there's that communication gap. If you want to talk about PICE, let's remember those three definitions of PR, and that's 33.33% of the pie.
Basta one third. Salamat for giving it. Maraming salamat for giving us an exact amount.
Oh, hindi. 0.33. At saka ano yan, non-terminating repeating decimal yan, ayon kay Lewis Lightfoot.
Okay. So, yeah, take note. Ha. Nag-quote po siya uli. No? He's trying to sound smart. Although he is smart.
Okay. Sa ano yan? Nasa libro yan na The Fundamental Methods of Mathematical Economics ni Alpha C. Chang, 4th edition.
Talino talaga ng kausap natin, no? Mga kababayan. Okay. Yung sinasabi ko kasi, yung gusto kong tumbukin dito, parang ano to, di ba? Nakikita natin to nung nag-aaral tayo sa classroom, di ba? Yung mga pabisi ng mga classmate mo. Okay, mga hindi nagpe-perform sa group work, pero mas ma-PR, di ba? Mas magaling mag-communicate sa classroom, sa
group
teachers.
Group work is a perfect analogy, oo. Di ba? Diyan mo makikita yung microcosm, eh.
Lastly, Alan, pag-usapan natin importance noong participation sa debate, forums, at saka sa interviews, especially toward the as we draw closer to the election. Ano ba to? Based experience mo, talaga nagkakaroon siya ng major impact in terms of shifts. Kunwari, kung sa tingin nito, itong kandidatong to, ang galing-galing. Pero dahil hindi siya nag-perform that well in subsequent debates or forums, pwede makabawas yun sa kanyang support. Nagkakaroon ba ng swing factor because of this?
100%, the numbers do bear it out. Malaking bagay po ang mag-participate sa mga debate at forum at mga dialogue na ganito. Lalo yung COMELEC approved ones. Yan ho yung talagang malaking factor. Let's go back to 2016. You can actually track that. If you look at the candlestick chart of VP Lenny, medyo it was 50-50. In fact, medyo lamang pa si Marcos Jr. nung time na yon. But the debates, you can see that she slowly pulled away as the debates rolled on. She gained a lot of ground from the debates. If you look at the experience now, ang laki ng net negative in terms of our own QSS, quick sentiment scan, ang laki ng reputational hit na natanggap ng Marcos camp nung hindi sila sumali dun sa unang debate.
Like how big?
Well, I don't recall the exact numbers, but if I remember correctly, parang almost 60% were against it.
Net na yan? Neto na?
Yes. 60%. QSS, that's pretty normal for a QSS, no, na net negative. Nagalit ang mga tao, na-turn off sila. Ngayon yung mga shifters, they're saying that a lot of people shifted. I'm sure you have seen that also. Let's take that with a grain of salt. Baka totoo, baka hindi, kasi may lumalabas din ng material na hindi na ako candidate A ngayon, candidate B na ako ngayon.
Medyo duda ako rin, Alan, eh. Kasi pwedeng manufacture din yun, eh.
Oh, let's take that with a grain of salt. But we do QSS readings, and reputationally, the Marcos camp did take a hit when they did not participate in that debate. So, to your point, your question, malaking bagay po. Malaki ang electoral value ng mga debates na ito at kung ano ang mai-promote ng kandidato. You know, I'm most curious to see Senator Ping's numbers after these debates. Because a lot of people are saying that he's really, really doing very well in the debates based on his, you know, long experience and his data-driven. Parang it's his answers are data-based. So I want to see kung nagka-uptick. That perhaps is the best barometer para makita.
Kasi nga, the debate winner will not necessarily be the election winner, no?
sadly, yes, as is it's a compendium of so many factors. That's why guys like me still have jobs. Kasi kung yan lang ang basehan, ay hindi niyo na kami kailangan at hindi na namin kailangan na magpa using the favorite word of one Christian Esguerra. Hindi na kailangan ng maraming kolorete.
Okay. Mr. Alan Herman, maraming salamat for joining us on this Facts First podcast. Always a pleasure to have you here.
The pleasure is mine. And don't forget to like and subscribe. It's a good channel. Ako, paborito ko to.
Iyan o. Oh. Ayan, habang sinasabi niya yan, lumalabas na sa inyo yung sa screen nyo. Nandun na yan.
Para, to the point, hindi po namin ito napag-usapan at hindi po ito pre-approved question and answer.
Oh, totoo po yan. Totoo yan. Kasi ako personally, I hate it when interviewees ask for advanced questions. Ang binibigay ko lang siguro yung talagang nanghihingi sila, itatanong ba yung data na to? That's understandable, di ba? Kasi wala yun sa top of mind nila eh. Pero yung tatanong yun, ano yung specific na ganito? Sabi ko, that's BS.
Huwag na lang tayo mag-usap.
Although ginagawa na rin, kaya nga kanina pinunto ko rin sa conversation natin eh. Kasi nakaka-frustration eh. Yung mga scripted interviews, hindi siya performance art eh. Diba? Kung ganun, di mo rin tayo ng stage play exactly. O ng telenovela. Diba?
Or an infomercial. Diba?
You know, kukunot yun ako. Diba? So Mr. Alan Herman, what do you think of this? Ibang ganun, diba? Scripted eh.
Gayang-gaya.
Okay. Sige. Masyado na po tayong madaldal at marami na po tayong masyadong nasabi. Again, thank you Alan for joining us and I hope makatulong to dun sa mga nanonood at nakikinig para mas maintindihan nila kung paano dapat tinitingnan at sinusuri yung mga debate at forum na sinasalihan ng mga kandidato. Okay?
Always a pleasure. Salamat.
Okay. Thank you Alan. Again, you can watch this episode on my YouTube channel. Tsaka yung podcast edition nasa Apple, Spotify, Google, and Stitcher. Maraming salamat po sa pakikinig.